I don't know about you, but I'm amazed by him. You can remain standing if you have your Bibles with you or your Bible app. I ask you to turn to Luke 22nd chapter. Today's word has a lot of words to it, a lot of scripture. Those of you that have heard me preach before, I like to go through scripture. So I'm going to encourage you to take notes today because there's some things I'm going to ask you to highlight. So if you have a Bible app, you can highlight them. If you have a Bible, scratch it out on a piece of paper. Just write down the verse number that I'm asking you to underline. It'll all come together at the end. I truly believe that. So let's pick up with Luke, the 22nd chapter at verse 54. The title of my message is The Rest of the Story. In verse 54, it says, "Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest." This is Jesus they're talking about. Peter followed at a distance. It's something I would want you to highlight, underline. It's kind of interesting. He's been with Jesus all this time, seeing all these wonderful miracles, seeing all these great things happening. And the moment that Jesus gets taken away, he takes a step back. He's following at a little bit of a distance, giving himself a little space. And that sentence is a message in itself, but I wonder, do we follow Jesus at a distance? You know, are there moments that we're super close to him, then all of a sudden something happens, or we're forced with a decision, and then all of a sudden we take two steps back? I'm a follower, but I'm going to follow from a distance in this area. Are we where Jesus is moving? And I'm going to raise some questions of why do we kind of keep that distance? Okay? Continuing on in verse 55, "And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them." And I want you to underline in that verse, "kindled a fire." We'll come back to it. "A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.'" Verse 57, "But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him.'" A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also was with him." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. Verse 59, "And about an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" Verse 60, "Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know who you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, just as he said that, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and he wept bitterly." Let us pray. Father, I pray that our lives be transformed today. Transformed completely. There's an expectation. I sense your presence. Father, have your way in this service. Father, in your word it says in Jeremiah that you will burn coals to my lips and give me the words to say, just as you did to Jeremiah, and I declare that this day. Let not one word be of mine, not one thought, nothing. Flush it out, remove it. All my heart's desire, Father, is to speak the truth of your word in a clarity today that the people will be able to receive and their lives will be transformed. So let not one word be mine, but all of the words be you. Have your way. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. But I want you to lead, and I will follow. For we honor you, and we honor your word this day. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I find it interesting that Peter's denial is accounted for in all four Gospels. Okay? John 18, Mark 14, Matthew 26, and Luke 22. Now, as I studied for this message, I noticed that only 10 other accounts in the Bible are identified in all four Gospels. And so to me, this must hold some kind of importance that it's in every single one of the Gospels. And I think part of it's because we can relate to Peter. Now, let's think about what happened. So right before he denies Jesus, they're about to arrest him. The sword comes out, cuts off an ear. Know that story. And all of a sudden, Jesus is like, no, no, no. Heal the ear. Stop, stop, stop. This is kind of meant to be. They take him away. And all of a sudden, he takes his little step back. Peter takes his little step back. I'm following from a distance because I think he's a little afraid. They just arrested Jesus. What are they going to do to me? So I take that step back. And all of a sudden, someone comes up to him and goes, hey, you were with him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, no. I wasn't with him. Wasn't me. So he moves away and he goes to a different spot in the courtyard. He goes, okay, I'm going to kind of hide here. Maybe no one knows that I'm here. I want to be close, sort of, but I don't want to be too close because they can come for me. So I'm here. Then all of a sudden, somebody else comes up. Hey, you were with him. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, no, no. Nope, not me. Not me. Go by the fire here. So he's heating his hands. And all of a sudden, someone else comes up and goes, wait, you were with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Think about that for a moment. Imagine if you were him. No, I wasn't. It wasn't me. Then all of a sudden, the roosters crow. And he turns his eyes, and Jesus is staring at him. Because it says in verse 60, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. I wonder, what would his face look like? I think some of us would have a picture that he'd be angry with him. That you just denied me. You said you'd be by my side. You just denied me. Some people, I think, would say he's probably upset. He's like disappointed. He's like bummed. You know what I think? His face would have been filled with compassion. His face would have been filled one with love, one with understanding. You know, Peter, it's okay. I still love you. But some people stop the story there. They look at what Peter's denial and make this big deal out of Peter's denial and say, you know, Peter denied Christ. Well, guess what? There's more to his story. There's more to all of our stories. Sometimes we stop in the middle of life and think this is it. At the worst parts. Not going to get better. This is just what we're going to have to settle for this. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not true. There's more to the story. Turn to someone and say, there's more to your story. I don't care where you are at right now, if you're struggling, if you're at the highest part of your life, there's more to your story. 2019 is a new chapter of your story. Your book's not written. Your book's not written. So what's more to the story here for Peter? Because I want to continue on this. Now we're going to go to John 21, verses 1 through 9. Again, take notes, write this down, check this out after. It's pretty cool. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. Now this is, Jesus is captured. Jesus has been on that cross. He's not on that cross, right? He rose again, right? And this is all after that. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got on the boat. But they caught, that night, they caught nothing. How many of you know that he was a fisherman? Okay. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you have any fish? No, they answered. Verse 6, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were able to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Verse 7, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. I want you to underline verse 7. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Peter heard him say it, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. Whoa, this is a big part here. Listen. Peter's reaction to me is very interesting. Did you notice? He's not the one that realized it was Jesus telling them to throw the net into the other side. Yet he's the one that jumped out of the boat. Let me say that again. If you look at verse 7, it says, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" They both heard it. Now picture this. They're all in the boat. They're fishermen. They know what they're doing. They're fishing all night. They didn't get anything. They know what they're doing. And some man way over here on the shore near a fire is yelling, "Hey, did you catch anything? How you doing out there?" And they're like going, first of all, how did they hear that far, right? From the shore all the way in? You know, that's a crazy thought, right? But the second, he goes, "Hey, you catch anything?" They're going, "What's this dude probably yelling?" And all of a sudden, the guy out here is going, "Hey, throw it on the other side, see what happens." And they did. And all these fish started pouring into the net. But guess what? If you read the passage, it wasn't Peter that heard, that knew it was the Lord. It says, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Does everyone know who the disciple whom Jesus loved is, who they're referring to? It's John. But who jumped out of the boat? Peter. Okay? I don't know about you, but I don't want to depend on anyone else to tell me to follow Jesus. Think of what happened in that boat. Peter's in the boat, he's fishing. All of a sudden, somebody else had to go, "Yo, dude, that's Jesus. That's the Lord." Peter reacted, but I don't want to be that person to listen to someone else tell me what Jesus is doing. I don't want someone else to give me a word from God. I want a word from me. I want to hear from him. Now, the crazy thing about this verse is I don't understand is they're both in the boat. He's yelling. They both got to hear what the guy is saying. But Peter, I don't know if he's preoccupied with, "I'm the fisherman." Who's the guy out there? Makes you wonder if we're the same way. I want to be able to hear his voice calling. I want to be the one to know he's speaking. But too often we look to others. Too often we miss out on what God is trying to say because we're not listening to his voice. What about you? Do you hear his voice? Is your relationship strong enough that you would recognize if he was speaking to you? I want to pick up at verse 8. We'll come back to that. The other disciples followed in the boat. None of them jumped out, just him. Towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And again, in verse 8, I want you to underline fire burning coals. We'll wrap that in a little bit. Let's skip to verse 15. This is so interesting. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah," or John, "do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." What was he doing there? He was restoring him, wasn't he? He was restoring him. Denied him three times, restored him with love three times. But did you notice something? Did you notice? Jesus called him Simon, son of John. He didn't call him Peter. He called him into the name prior to Jesus renaming him Peter. I wonder why. I don't have that for you, but I wonder why. Makes me wonder. But let's picture again what happened. So they're following Jesus, seeing all these signs and miracles, and all of a sudden he's taken away. And he's beaten on that cross for you and I. He's dead. They bury him. And he rises again. And guess what they do? Let's go fishing. By the way, thanks, Phil, the bass player for my little boat this morning. He even cleaned it out and all that's all nice. Aren't we like this sometimes? Following Jesus, something happens. We go back to what's comfortable, what's familiar. He was a fisherman. He saw all these signs, wonders, and miracles. You would think that nothing was going to distract him. Nothing's going to change him. He's going to do what God wanted him to do the rest of his life, no matter what. But yet, first sign of trouble, he steps away. They hang him on the cross. They bury him, and he goes back to fishing. They all go back to fishing. And they're throwing in the net. They're throwing the net. And nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, some strange voice comes. I just see so much of that in us. I see so much of that in me. He went back to what was familiar. He went back to before Christ. We deny Christ in our lives all the time. I know I do. I have. Maybe it's our marriage. It's relationships with others. Maybe sometimes at our job, somebody says something. They're asking me a question about the Bible. I'm going to back away and walk away. They need prayer. I know they need prayer, but I'm going to stay at a distance. I'm a follower, but I'm going to go back to what's comfortable and what's familiar. So I'm going to go back to my chair. When we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, our lives are supposed to be transformed, changed forever. We're supposed to be growing. They should be flourishing. They should never be the same, but yet, don't we do this? At some point in our life, we stop and say, this is the best we have in life. I guess I'm just going to have to settle. I'm just going to have to be okay with the way life is right now. We're going to go back to being what's familiar, what's comfortable, you know? This is okay. We made a good living as a fisherman. You know, it's all right. I'll be okay. But God does not want that. You know, we sit here and we say to ourselves, you know, I was divorced once. I'm divorced once. I'm never going to get married again, you know. I really believed God gave me a business idea. I went for it, but all of a sudden it went under, you know. It didn't work out, you know. Maybe God really didn't tell me to go into business. I'm just going to go back and go do the thing I did before. Because I know I can have a job. I know I can get something. You know, I'm an addict. I stopped for a little bit. I was doing really good. I was really clean. And then all of a sudden, I had a relapse. And you know, it's just, I'm just never going to be clean. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to what's familiar. I'm going to go back in my boat. Because I don't have a chance. I tried. I thought God was helping me. So I'm going to go back. It's going to be okay. I survived. I'll continue to survive. But how many of us know that that's not the rest of our story? It's not. We stop. We say this is the end of our story. It's not. Guess what? It's a chapter in your life. It's a book. How many of you have ever read like a really good novel? What ends up happening in a really good novel? You get tough parts, don't you? There's some rocky things that go through those novels that are up and down and all around. And in the end, if they stay true and faithful, what happens? It's a beautiful ending to the story, isn't it? That difficulty that they faced, yeah, it's a chapter of their life, but it doesn't define them. It doesn't make who you are. It's one chapter. And the question I'm asking you this morning is, what's your chapter for 2019? It's not the chapter for 2018. It's not the chapter from 2001. What we need to do is we need to allow God to write the chapter and us follow along with it by listening to his voice. I don't want to write the chapter. I want him to write the chapter. And I want to follow. But so many of us think that our book is done. It's not done. You're on to your next chapter. Think of some of the greatest people in the Bible and their stories. Think of David, the little shepherd boy. Did you ever think when he's out there being a shepherd boy that he ever thought he'd be king? Ever cross his mind? Well, guess what? He was the king. His dad didn't even bring him out to Samuel to present him to have the opportunity to be king. Think about that. Think of the scar that's got to leave. But guess what? God had a different plan. That his chapter was, he's going to be king. Think about it. He had a different chapter that he killed Goliath. But then let's stay on David. David had a chapter about the affair with Bathsheba. He had a chapter in his life about Uriah. He purposely killed Uriah. He put him in the front lines to make sure he was going to die. He actually gave the little slip of the order and Uriah carried it back to and handed it over and stood there and didn't even know that the slip said basically, there's your death sentence. But yet, he was known for having God's own heart. What about Moses? Moses killed the Egyptian. But later he led the Israelites out of Egypt. Their stories were not finished, and your story is not finished either. Turn to someone and say, what's the rest of your story? Could you answer that? Now let's think of Jesus. We just celebrated the birth of Christ. But how many people do you know still believe the baby's still in the manger? Right? I mean, seriously, there are people out there that's the highlight of it. The baby's in the manger. But the story didn't stop there. Miracle after miracle that he performed. Each time those lives were changed, the story didn't end. Think about any of them. The crippled. Did you think his story was going to be crippled his whole life, right? Probably thought that his whole life. Then all of a sudden, boom, the miracle happened and his life, the story totally, completely changed. Over and over and over, the Bibles are examples of that. Our lives are examples of that. How many of us have a completely changed lives because of Jesus Christ? Right? Amen to that. Amen. We can clap for that. His death on the cross, he went on that cross. People think he's still there. It's crazy. Guess what? They buried him. And he rose again. Amen? But the crazy thing is, people think the story stops there. Jesus' story's not finished yet, church. Do you know that? He's coming again. Let's not forget that. That deserves a shout of praise. Come on. His story continues through all eternity. There is no end to his story. And there's not an end to yours either. So what about you? Do you have the mindset that you arrived at a place that you'll never change? Do you have a mindset right now that things will never get better? I'm going to tell you right now, you need to renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Now, earlier, I had us underline a couple passages, a couple words in each passage. I want to look at that. I said I was going to come back to it. I'm going to circle around right now. Let's look at these two verses again. Luke 22, verse 55 says, "And when some there kindled the fire," and that's what we underlined, "in the middle of the courtyard, and he had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Then John 21:9, when they landed, they saw the fire of burning coals." That's what we underlined. "There were there with fish on it and some bread." Now, this seems like to be nothing, but I'm going to argue it's very significant. One of Peter's worst moments was when he denied Christ at the fire. He denies them the third time. The rooster crows. He weeps. He looks at them and he weeps and bawls. Cries. How many of you have a bad memory and any time you're around something that reminds you of it, all of a sudden it comes right back up? Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? I imagine every time he smelled the burning of the wood, he'd go back to the place that he denied Christ. We do it. Right? We do it. There's moments in our lives. We do it. We go back. It's not the same, but all of a sudden something, and then all of a sudden we're flooded with this anger, this disappointment, this feeling that we've done something wrong. But look at the second verse. It's awesome. Where does the restoration take place of Jesus? At the fire on the side of the beach. Where your greatest weakness, your greatest struggle, your greatest hurt, I'm believing you're going to be restored at the very place where you think you have your lowest moment. You know that first marriage that didn't work out? I'm believing he's going to bring someone in your life. Those relationships with family members and friends that don't seem like they can be restored, I'm going to be praying that you ask them for forgiveness and they forgive you and you forgive them. That your families and friends are going to come to complete restoration, because that's what he would want. The job that you might have lost, I'm believing he's providing an opportunity to restore your career, your business. But the real question is, will you jump out of the boat and run towards Jesus? Will you take the leap of faith to allow someone close again? Someone that's hurt you. Can you forgive them and sit in the same room again and really look at them and try to restore that relationship? Will you take the leap and pursue open doors that have been put in front of you and not be afraid to walk through them because you tried that before? But all of this comes down to the fact, can you hear his voice? You know, when they're in the boat, I go back to the John thing. I don't want to be Peter. I don't want someone else telling me God is going to move. God is saying something. I want to be the one that hears it and responds. I love his response, but I want to hear it for myself. I think we all do. I want to wrap this up. Will you stand with me, please? Comes down to, can you hear his voice? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Yes. 2019 is not going to be based on your past failures or your past accomplishments. Hear me. This is from the Lord. It's going to be based on your ability to hear the voice of God and be obedient. A little bit lower. Let me say that again. I don't want anyone to miss this. There's a couple things very specific that the Lord, like, make sure you say it exactly the way I'm telling you. 2019 is not going to be based on your past failures or your past accomplishments. It's going to be based on your ability to hear the voice of God, your ability, not someone else's, and your obedience. What will be the rest of your story? What's your chapter entitled for 2019 going to say? Now, I want to pray with you this morning. If you need to be able to hear his voice, maybe you struggle with it, and you've wanted to and you haven't heard his voice, I'm going to ask you to come down. I don't take altar calls lightly. I'm very specific. I'm always with God. I'm like, God, do you want me to do an altar call? I'll do it. If you don't, you don't. It's good. But I don't want to call people up just to call people up. That's the least thing on my heart. But he said, call them down. If you want to hear his voice, or you're struggling with something about hearing his voice, I'm going to ask you to make your way down forward here at the altar for a moment. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. I'm going to wait on God. God's going to do something. I said expect at the beginning, and I'm expecting. Don't be ashamed. I need to say this. Some of you look at other people and say, they hear the voice of God, but I don't, and I'm ashamed of that. There's no shame in Christ. No shame in Christ. Mm-mm. So you need to get rid of that stinking thinking. There's no shame in Christ in that. Now, God was very specific with me. So I'm going to be very specific with you. So please listen. He told me what I'm supposed to pray to you. And for some of you, it's not going to be what you expect. You're expecting I'm going to come and I'm going to look at you and I'm going to speak a word into you from the Lord. I'm not doing that. The Lord has specifically instructed me that this is not what I'm supposed to do. He's not going to give me a word to give to each of you. He's not. You don't need to hear it from someone else. Following me? You don't need to hear it from someone else. Peter needs to hear it. You need to hear it. He told me, and this is going to blow some of your minds here, stay with me, believe. He told me, don't pray for them for me to speak to them. When he said that to me, I'm like, what are you talking about? This whole message is about speaking, listening to the voice of God, but you're telling me, don't pray for them for you to speak to them? That makes no sense to me. You know, it makes no sense. And then he followed it up and he says, I am always speaking to them. Pray for them that they may hear my voice and then obey it. Ooh, blew me away. God is saying to you, some of you go, he doesn't speak to me. He's speaking to you. You're just not hearing it. You're Peter in the boat. He spoke to all of them in the boat. One heard. The other one, it took a little response to get him to go, oh, okay. And he followed. That's great. He followed. But we need to get away from John speaking in, and you need to be John in the essence of hearing it, not so much speaking it to someone else. Are you following me with this? Hopefully you're with me. He's being very specific. So he told me to only pray for them that they may hear my voice and then obey it.
Ooh. Ooh.
Then he gave me two scriptures. Revelation 13:9. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And then he brought me, he said, okay, look up here what the word hear means, so please listen. It means to learn, not just to hear, learn by the ear, give, and then pay attention to. So when it comes in, it stays and you pay attention to it. Then he gave me James 1:22, and he said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The word do, he said, then okay, look at do. So I looked up do. Watch this. It says, to perform a duty, to execute, to accomplish, to finish, to complete. So now if you're listening to me here, you not only have the responsibility of listening and hearing it, but you have the responsibility then when he said something to go out and to perform it, to do it, whatever that is. Amen? Okay, now there's one last thing before I'm going to come down and pray for you. Peter's story wasn't finished. Do you know that? He got his restoration at the fire and all that, but his story wasn't finished. We think it stops there with his restoration. It doesn't. Love this. Acts, the second chapter. You know, the beginning of Acts second chapter is when they're up in Pentecost and the room exploded, boom, all that happened. You know what happened right after the room? They went outside. And you know who spoke? Peter. And I want to read just the ending of what he spoke, starting at verse 37. This is amazing. Think about it. This is the person that was with them, saw the miracles. Whoa, I'm not getting too close because I'm afraid that I'm going to get arrested or something's going to happen. Jesus dies on that cross, goes, okay, the journey's over. This was fun. I'm going back to my familiar. Sitting on the boat, doesn't even hear what Jesus is telling him to do. And then all of a sudden, he's up in the upper room and he comes out. And Peter replied to, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all of whom the Lord our God will call. And then verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And watch this. And about 3,000 were added to the number that day. This is the guy that, I don't want to get too close, I might get in trouble. This is the guy that didn't hear the voice when he was calling just a moment ago. All of a sudden, he's speaking boldly and doing what he's supposed to be doing. Because what was Peter? He was the rock. The rock that the church was to be built on, right? Well, guess what? If you would have read those earlier chapters, you would have thought, no way is he going to end up being the rock. But guess what? Restoration, hearing his voice, following it, put him back into place in the chapter that is supposed to be written in his life. And I believe that for you guys too. Your story continues. You have a responsibility to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us does. To do and to be what God has called us to do, but we got to hear his voice to be able to do that. So I'm going to want all of you to come, I'm going to walk down, but come a little forward, and I'm going to come down for a second. Yeah? You want to know? Okay. Now listen, let's make two nice rows. Back row, can we make a second row so it's nice? Now, I'm not going to pray that you hear God's voice. I know it sounds the strangest thing, but I'm going to be obedient to what he told me to do. I'm going to pray that he opens up your ears. He's going to open up your eyes. He's going to clean out the stinking thinking in your mind. And he's going to open up your heart to receive. He's already speaking. He already told me that. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to all of us. We just don't see it. We don't pay attention. We don't go, oh, wow, he just said something. Go, run. But today I'm believing that you're going to. Because all the things that have been plugged up, I'm believing is going to be released. Okay? Now, I'm going to lay my hands on your ears. I'm not going to apologize for that. So you know, I'm doing exactly what he tells me to do. I'm going to lay my hand over your eyes. I apologize if that's going to bother you, but I'm going to do that. Okay? I know it sounds strange, but I'm going to do what he tells me to do, like it or not. Okay? And I'm going to pray that your mind and your heart receives what he has in store for you. Gentlemen, stay with me, please. Father, let her hear. Let her hear. Open up her ears. Open up her eyes. Open up her eyes. Clear her mind. Clear her mind. Clear her mind. Clear her mind. Go on. Open up her heart. Open up her heart. Open up her heart. Open up her ears. Open up her ears. Unplug the ears. Unplug the ears. Jesus, unplug the ears. Unplug the ears. Take out the growth that is in the ear. Take it out. Open up her eyes. Open up her eyes. Open up her eyes.